Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Well, there's tension brewing again in downtown Tampa, this time over the painting of murals. So far, 11 people in all have been arrested, and there are complaints of unequal treatment. We'll talk about that first today on Radioactivity. But before we do that, two listener comments about yesterday's program. On the program yesterday, we heard from a caller who wondered, given the state of the country, what should be done next. Here's what two listeners had to say.
Dave in Tampa. I was listening to your Tuesday morning program. Right at the end of it, a woman called, and boy, I'm sympathetic to her. She said, you know, what do? We've been working, calling, protesting, sending emails about the fascist takeover of our government. And what do we do now? Well, not violence, but I think general strikes, civil disobedience. It's time to start coming up with new ways of sending a message to the powers that be that we're not going to take it anymore, because it's pretty clear that our representatives in Congress are not our representatives. I think they're more representatives of an oligarchy that's gained control of this government, and we're facing a fascist takeover. I don't think that's an overstatement, and I think we need to find ways of reaching out and making them hurt really bad without violence. Please, no violence. But let's get creative. Like, how about everybody turn their cell phone off simultaneously at one time and then bring them back up 10 minutes later? Would that crash the system? It might. Things like that might start to send a message that we're not going to take it anymore, and we're going to stop sending emails and letters and phone calls, and we're going to take matters in our own hands nonviolently.
Good morning. This is Dennis from Oldsmar. I just wanted to call and say I agree with Fran. What is it that, just how much are we going to take to get the villagers to be in front of the White House with pitchforks and torches? It's almost like voter constituent Stockholm syndrome. We've been taken hostage by a madman and just don't seem to be willing to do anything about it.
Well, there you have two listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. This is 88.5 FM. Tension is brewing in downtown Tampa involving mural painters, Food Not Bombs, BLM protesters, police, and neo-Nazis. Last night, four more people were arrested in what's become a controversy over a mural painted outside of Tampa police headquarters. The mural was painted without the proper permit being issued, covering a public street. Seven people were arrested as they attempted to paint an unpermitted mural at Curtis Hickson Park on Saturday. A woman active with the Tampa Bay Activist Network posted this message 2 days ago on Instagram about Saturday's arrests. She asked that her name not be used.
This is Dave.
After seven of our comrades were arrested yesterday, it has never been more evident that the Tampa Police Department is a gang, and every single one of those officers are gang members who are waging war against anyone connected to the Black Lives Matter movement. Before I get into yesterday's events, I want to remind you all that not that long ago, I know you all saw it, it made national news, a group of white supremacists put in a permit to paint a Back the Blue mural in front of the police station downtown. Now that permit was never approved, but what did they do? They painted it anyway. Guess how many cops were there to stop them? Zero. They blocked traffic for hours to paint this mural. And they were right in front of the police station. Zero run-ins with the cops. They just looked away. Hell, they were probably helping to paint it. But it's funny because yesterday, our people's experience with the cops went a little differently.
What is she being arrested for?
Our people got swarmed by 30 to 35 cops, maybe more, probably more, from all sides, just walking towards us, grabbing people at random, arresting people as we're yelling, Why are you arresting her? Why are you arresting him? They would not answer us. They treated us like animals. We're human beings. We deserve answers. Matter of fact, it's the law for you to read these people their Miranda rights. And they did not read anybody their rights. I know a lot of you saw the footage from yesterday, and it's triggering to watch, but I promise you it does not compare to what it was, how traumatizing it was to witness these people that you fight for justice with just totally getting their rights stripped away from them. And I don't think that's something that I will probably ever forget. My friend is still in jail. A lot of people already got bailed out. One of our comrades got beat by officers in jail last night. All he did was ask the nurse to sanitize, a blood pressure cuff, and he got beat because of it and taken into another cell and beaten by officers. Not other prisoners, officers. They can do whatever they want and get away with it. And the people who have remained silent, it's time for you to speak up now, because this is going down a very, very scary road. And if we don't do something about this now, then this might turn into something Nazi Germany-esque. And I wish I was exaggerating about that, but this is really how it all begins. And regarding the comrade who got beat by officers in jail, there, I was told there was cameras everywhere. So if they come out and say they don't have the footage of that, then they're lying. And I want that to be on record. Obviously, this is different than my normal weekly updates. Before yesterday happened, I was gonna go into Jane's budget and how she does yet again. How she still refuses to defund the police after everything that's said and done. How our council members give more worth to a Publix coupon booklet than the voice of his constituents. Charlie Miranda, I'm talking to you. I was gonna cover all of that, but I can't stop thinking about yesterday and what it means to this movement. In high school, I had a teacher who taught us about the Holocaust, and she was Jewish, and she would always try to get us to think about, like, if we were living through those times, what would we do? Would we be complicit and just let it happen? Or would we, like, take action and first stand up for what we know is right? Would we give in to this propaganda and close our eyes to things that make us uncomfortable and just let it happen? Or are we going to educate ourselves on what's happening and find ways on how to stop it? When it comes down to it, we're in a defining moment in time where it could honestly go either way. We are already seeing rights being violated every single day, our people being oppressed every single day without consequences to the oppressors. How far are institutions like the Tampa Police Department willing to go if no one is there to stop them? So what are you gonna do? I can't always tell you what to do. I have to figure out what I'm gonna do. That's for you to decide. You have the information, but do something.
Well, that was a young woman activist from the Tampa Bay Activist Network talking about an event that happened on Saturday night where seven activists were arrested in downtown Tampa. The Tampa police say that they were seen throwing paint on the sidewalk at Curtis Hickson Park. And we're going to talk about that next. We're going to post the link to the Instagram report that you just heard on our website later on today. But we're going to we're joined now by Matt Yampolsky, who was arrested, and he was the person that was allegedly beat up in custody on Saturday night. And Matt, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me, Rob.
And Ahmed is a witness to the arrest that happened on Saturday night. And Ahmed, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
It's nice to have you here.
Okay, thank you for coming on. Matt, first of all, let me ask you, what happened to you on Saturday night?
So You've seen the tapes. We were kind of ambushed like immediately upon starting the mural. Not much of a mural was able to get completed because of the speed of the officers just swarming in. I mean, there were like 20 or 30 of us, and there were like 30 or 35 cops immediately, you know, followed by even more when the bike posse came in. So they arrested us with no Miranda rights. None of us knew what we were actually being charged with. None of our questions were being answered at all. Once we were detained, we were transported to a precinct for forensic photos to be taken of us, and then we were transported to Orient Road lockup for further processing. So once we were at Orient Road, in the processing system, you know, you go through you go to a nurse and they check your vitals, including blood pressure, and you know, there's countless inmates going in and out. And we're in the middle of a pandemic, obviously, right now. So sanitation is kind of a must, I would think, you know, especially in an environment like a county jail. But that was clearly not the case from the get-go. Masks were sparingly used, including amongst officers and staff. When it was my turn to be processed, I asked the nurse to sanitize or clean the blood pressure cuff. She clearly was annoyed by that and sarcastically spoke of it to the sheriff's deputy that was standing nearby. I asked if it was rude of me to ask, and then they told me to calm down. I told them I was calm, and then I was yoked and attacked. I was smashed violently against the glass divider in the room. Four or five other officers joined in. They grabbed me. They restrained me. I was not resisting in the least bit. The only thing I was saying was I didn't do anything. They took me to a holding cell where they forced me to my knees, smashed me down face first to the ground, put all their weight on me, knees in my back, boots in my back. I couldn't breathe. I feared for my life. One officer had his entire body weight on my head, smashing it down to the concrete floor. He then grabbed me by the hair and smashed my head into the concrete a few times. My legs were being bent back to the back of my head. I literally couldn't breathe for a few moments. The whole time I was crying and screaming out for anyone to help me, even making eye contact with an officer that was in the room, pleading for her to help me. And she just coldly told me that she didn't see it. So it's pretty violent, pretty bloody. They finally got me to my feet, took me to another holding cell, sat me down, locked me in there for 4 hours, with no medical treatment. And they ignored, all of my requests for medical treatment. So that's where I'm at.
Physically, are there any marks on your body?
Absolutely.
Do you have photos?
I do. I have lots of photos. I have an ER visit documented. I have a specialist follow-up with a neurologist because I have a concussion. I have numbness in my thumbs from where they were lifting me by the handcuffs. Because, by the way, I was cuffed during this attack. So I don't know how much resistance could happen while you're cuffed. But, yeah, lots of photos. I have a black eye. My face was really swollen the day of and the day after. Swelling's gone down now, but black eye, lots of bruises on the back. The photos will show. I know what it is, and if you use your imagination, you can see it. What is clearly a boot print on my back, actually. Lots of evidence.
Matt, in this part of the jail, did you see cameras that would have videotaped what the officers were doing?
Rob, actually, that's a good question. In this jail, as in any jail, I would imagine, there's cameras pretty much at every vantage point. I personally saw a camera like maybe every 5 or 6 feet in this room. So I there's no doubt in my mind there's a camera angle showing every moment of my attack.
Let's go back to the reason why you were arrested and why you were thrown in jail. You went to Curtis Hickson Park this past Saturday night. It was a couple hours before sundown, as I look at the police report. Tell me, what were you and your group attempting to do at Curtis Hickson Park in downtown Tampa?
So I'm not a leader or an organizer in any of this movement. I'm just a concerned citizen that cares deeply about my fellow citizens. So I've been keeping myself and my wife up to date with the protests that have been going on, and have been out on the front lines since the beginning of this, since the end of May. So this was unlike any other. I saw a flyer for a group meeting at Curtis Hickson Park, and I wanted to show my support. We didn't have a babysitter, so my wife stayed home with the kid. So I came out. It was a group of maybe 20 or 30 people. Everybody's just kind of hanging out, and people start talking, and it turns out that the plan was to paint a rainbow flag mural with the initials BLM for Black Lives Matter in the middle of it. And I was game. I was down for it. I was down to show my support.
And this was on the sidewalk, or where at Curtis Hickson Park?
Yeah, this was in that middle. If you can picture the field there leading to that amphitheater area, there's like a bricked sidewalk kind of in the middle of the field. That's where we were.
Mm-hmm. You never got to paint that mural.
No, well, we it started, but I'm sure, as you can see in the news footage and the photos of the scene, not much of a mural got to be completed because within seconds, like maybe milliseconds, of paint cans coming out of Home Depot bags, we were swarmed.
Well, Matt Yampolsky was arrested Saturday night in downtown Tampa for attempting to paint a mural at Curtis Hickson Park, and this is 88.5 FM. Also on the phone with us is Ahmed, who is a witness to the arrest. Ahmed, am I pronouncing your name right? And do you want to give us your last name and tell us where you were on Saturday night?
Basically what had happened Saturday night was, like, we went into the field, and what was said was pretty much there's going to be, instead of walking to the mural that it was illegally made, there was going to be a mural made by making a rainbow flag on the sidewalk where we're not really interrupting the sidewalk in any type of way or any pathways. And then it's going to be a big rainbow flag and having all Black Lives Matter on top of it, as I believe so. And That would have put Jane in a predicament of either you're standing with the blues or you're standing with the LGBTQ plus community, which she believes that she's in, or she's a part of. And it's not really looked at in a better way, because right now y'all have stopped a mural that was made for plenty of people that are in the community, something that is in the community that needs to be looked at, specifically LGBTQ community in Tampa. And it showed full hypocrisy, where they have fully stopped the mural from being made even before it even started. The police has already showed up as soon as the paint was out of the bag. Police was already on the grass and et cetera. And then it was like, then people started throwing the paint onto the floor. But then they wanted to proceed with cleaning that up and actually arresting people on that. But then the Black Blue mural was not had nothing against it whatsoever. They stood there and blocked the road with them, as been said by my colleague on the video. It really explains what has happened. And right after that arrest, people had went to the Back of the Blue mural to go and see what's going on. And white supremacists are standing right next to the cops talking about, I painted this mural, so why didn't you arrest him the same way you have arrested Matt and my other colleagues when we were standing there? And it was very, very, very violent, the way that they took people left and right and dragged them. Like, to this day, I am shaking. To this day, it is stuck in my head. It's not right. Like, right now, we're fighting a very racist system. It shows vividly that the state of this country and the city is just messed up. It's just looked at from the white supremacists and helping the white supremacists to rise up and just blatantly throwing us down into the floor and shutting us down every time we speak or open our mouth. And it's not the move. It's not what we're here for. We're doing our best to keep it as peaceful as possible, and they keep on throwing us to the floor.
Well, so you've talked about this black and blue mural, and for folks that haven't heard about it, outside the Tampa police station just a few days ago, people without a permit painted a mural in support of the police. And apparently that was okay with the police in the city because nobody was arrested. And I think people understand that. The police want some support, so they let this mural be painted. But when you folks were trying to paint a rainbow mural along with the BLM initials a few blocks away at Curtis Hickson Park, you were stopped. So I take it that your point is that two unpermitted murals were attempted to be painted. One got a pass from the city police, and the other was stopped by the city police. Matt, does that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's a clear case of double standards here, you know. And based on what I'm hearing from the police department's statements about this, it sounds to me like Chief Dugan considers himself an art critic, because they're claiming that there was criminal intent with our mural, and not criminal intent with the Back the Blue mural. But again, you know, I didn't know Chief Dugan was an art major or an art history major. I wasn't aware of that fact, honestly.
Ahmed, you haven't given us your last name. I'm just asking this. Are you not giving your last name because you're concerned about your security, your safety?
I mean, I have public cases right now, so.
Okay. I just wanted to straighten that out. That Ahmed, you said that you saw white supremacists, and I wasn't quite clear of the context. They were standing a few blocks away from Curtis Hickson Park at the police department on Saturday night?
As soon as people got arrested, other people gathered up at Curtis Hickson to stand in solidarity for our comrades that got arrested, our people that got arrested, pretty much. And when we go down there and when the people went down there and went towards the Back Blue mural to go and basically like stand in solidarity with our people over there, you can see people throwing the KKK signs. You can see people with the black flag, the black American flag with the blue strip in the middle of it. Like you can see them throwing the signs and all of that stuff and looking at our people in the face and cussing them out with racist slurs, and it's very like
I think it's fair to say that the flag with the black and blue stripes is not necessarily racist, but you said that they were using KKK symbols. What KKK symbols were they using?
Like the using your thumb and your index finger to make a circle and having your three other fingers up.
So sort of the white power salute. Yes. Yeah.
And then just calling us the N-word, F-word, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's just deliberate racism, deliberate disregard of human beings.
All right. So, what would be the fair outcome, Matt? You've been arrested, and you were thrown in jail, and you have pictures of the brutal beating that you say you were subjected to. So, what would be a fair outcome here? What would you like the city leaders to do?
Well, honestly, I don't even care about my beating. That's the least of the concerns for any of us activists. What we care about is systemic oppression. Jane Castor has supported Chief Dugan every step of the way since May 30th, since George Floyd died, and we started protesting in this city against the same things people have been protesting against all over the country. Jane Castor stood by Chief Dugan and his vicious tactics, his chemical warfare, his, you know, riot police attacking peaceful protesters since the beginning. I've been on the front lines along with my wife since the beginning, and that's what they've done. We were shot at and sprayed at 22nd and MLK. They were shot at and sprayed on the highway a few days later. You know, it goes on and on. Chief Dugan has to be fired. He has to be fired. Like, that is the only acceptable outcome, is for Dugan to lose his job. But having said that, it's clear that Mayor Castor, former police chief Mayor Castor, is never in a million years going to do that. That's her right-hand man. So what I want isn't going to just happen. Incremental change isn't going to just happen. So we need to immediately freeze TPD's budget. We need to immediately reallocate at least 19% of those funds to other community service programs. As I said before, but I will repeat it, we need to immediately fire Police Chief Dugan immediately. And Jane Castor needs to step back and redo her budget, because it does nothing but increase the police department's budget. So we're actually calling for all the citizens of Tampa to please, please, please reach out to your city councilmen and women. Tell them that you do not support Mayor Castor's budget. You do not support an increase to the Tampa Police Department's budget. You support only a freezing of those funds and a reallocation of those funds. We have to abolish the police and replace it with community policing.
And the debate over the city budget is coming up. Achmed, what would you say about what would you like city officials to do?
First, I would like Mayor Jane Castor to be kicked out, and her little puppet, which is Chief Dugan, because she's still the chief of the police, and he's just the image in front of us that is sitting there as, put it in quote, chief of the police, when he's not, knowing damn well that he's not. This person has done nothing but disregard and not even attention towards what's been going on. The police department has been spreading nothing but lies towards everyone. And that is not what we want in our in a country that's supposed to be the number one country in the world. We should be looking at defunding the police, putting these funds into our communities that has been lacking, that has been tormented, that has been put down, that has been depressed, to uplift them and put them in a better place. And if we put these funds into these communities, trust me, those crimes are not going to be at that rate whatsoever, because those crimes are there because all these funds are not affordable, or not everything is affordable for these people. These people are struggling. They would do anything to eat. So if you're feeding them, they won't sit here and do crimes to go eat.
Well, thank you both for coming on. Matt, is there anything else that you'd like to point out?
I just would like to add, if any listeners want to call in Crime Stoppers, there is plenty of footage, photo and video footage, of the vandals that created that black paint back of the blue mural in front of the police station. So please look out on Facebook, name names, let the police know that the suspects are at large.
Well, Matt Yablonsky and Achmed, thank you very much for coming on WMNF.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thanks. Thanks. And we're going to continue the discussion. The painting of a pro-police mural in downtown Tampa outside the Tampa Police Department has led so far to 11 total arrests. And one of my last guests, Matt Yablonsky, was one of the people arrested for trying to paint a rainbow mural without a permit at Curtis Hickson Park in answer to the pro-police mural that was painted without a permit outside the Tampa Police Department. And Matt was arrested Saturday night, as you heard. And you're listening to 88.5 FM. If you want to comment about the show, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Well, Saturday night was a busy night because a few blocks away from Curtis Hickson Park in downtown Tampa, the Food Not Bombs group was sharing food, as it usually does on Saturday night, in Likes Park. And we're joined now by Rose, who was there, who says she was knocked to the ground by racists after arriving at the Food Not Bombs food share. And also Bernice with Dream Defenders, who's been helping bail innocent protesters out. And Rose and Bernice, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here. Oh, we lost both of them, I think. Which one did we lose? Okay, let's see. We're gonna have Rose and Bernice call us back. I think we lost both of them. Sorry about that. So Rose and Bernice are going to call us back. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And by the way, thanks to Cindy Philpott and Yvonne Goujalet for helping to produce this program today. And we're talking about the recent arrests in downtown Tampa and what seems to be rising tension between activists and the police, and also between activists and far-right groups in downtown Tampa, something that's not been well covered by the other media, but we're trying to cover it here. Let's go to Rose, and Rose is one of our guests for this segment. Rose, thanks for coming on. Tell us where you were Saturday night.
So I was not at Food Not Bombs, just to specify on that. I was at in front of the police station that night in solidarity for those arrested. So we gathered at Curtis Hickson immediately after everyone had been arrested and walked down to the police station. We weren't carrying signs. We weren't chanting. We were just standing there in solidarity. And a couple walked past. A male presenting and female presenting couple walked past us. And the male presenting person was wearing a shirt that was very supportive of more right-wing Southern stances. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to rewatch the footage. But he walked past us, eyeballing us really, really hard. And then he walked across the street and made a phone call. And next thing we know, within 5 minutes, other trucks and people are showing up and gathering on the other side of the street. And they're calling racial slurs out to us. They're threatening us. And we went, so I had walked with a buddy down, a comrade down, to let some people know, hey, there's a bunch of racists who just showed up. Please be careful. And that's when they moved on us. So I turned on my video at that point, and I had my phone. I have a ring that loops around my finger. So I had that around my middle finger, and I was gripping my phone, and I ran up to where the group had confronted my comrades and started, you know, recording what was happening. And this male who was at least 6 foot, like 200 some pounds, gets in my face, and he starts getting into another comrade's face. And so I'm like, hey, you need to back up. You're not wearing a mask. We're in the middle of a pandemic, you know? And so he just lashed out and punched at me. He ended up, he didn't hit my face or body, but he hit my hand and ended up knocking my phone out of my hand pulling my fingers and my hands in the opposite direction they're supposed to be. And my phone flew into the street. Thankfully, nothing happened to my phone. It still maintained recording. So when I grabbed my phone up, I confronted him and what I assume is like his wife or girlfriend. He was standing there. She bumped into me. I have video footage, but I haven't been able to send it for some reason to anyone. But she bumped into me and then was like, touch me again. I'll whoop your, and all this, like, swearing at me and everything. And I'm like, you literally bumped into me. You're not wearing a mask. I'm not getting close to you. Like, you're the one who came into my space. And then after about 8 minutes of confrontation with these people who were trying to prevent from causing any physical harm, they're running up on people and, like, getting in people's faces when we're literally, we weren't doing anything. Like, I could understand if we were protesting and we were getting in their faces, we hadn't been doing any of that. Like, then it took, we're right in front of the police station, mind you. It took them 8 minutes to swarm us with probably 7-8 cop cars. When they all finally showed up, they let the supremacists go. Like, despite us saying I was physically assaulted, we had others who were physically assaulted. We had a phone that was literally stolen from someone, and they just let them walk away and leave. And most of the police weren't wearing masks. None of the supremacists were wearing masks. They were all saying it was their right, that they didn't even believe in the coronavirus and all of these things. Like,
the police said that?
The police told me it was their right. And
they didn't believe in the coronavirus?
Baker, his name was Baker, and I believe his badge number was 802 or something like that, if I can remember. He was like, I don't believe in the coronavirus. And, like, not wearing a mask, just very blatantly disrespectful to us. And I'm like, look, do you see how small I am? And this person that you obviously let go away, he's like, well, I didn't let them leave. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? You literally were right there. You turned your back on. I was talking to one of your buddies over there. I didn't let them leave. And I was like, you're a cop. Go stop them.
Rose.
And then say.
Is all this on video?
Yes. I was recording every moment of this.
Where can people.
Video.
Where can people see?
I haven't been able to send it yet. For some reason, it's not uploading. So once I can send it, I'll get it to WMNF, and you know, I just haven't been able to get it out for some reason, but I've got to figure out what's wrong with that, but I'll try to get it today. But yeah,
and when you say these are white supremacists, beyond using racial terms, were there other indications that they were white supremacists in downtown Tampa on Saturday night?
Outside of the racial slurs, the shirts that they were wearing. They didn't have like signs or anything. One person was carrying a can of Lost spray and sprayed it at several of my comrades.
What kind of spray?
Wasp.
Okay, wasp spray. Like a powerful insecticide.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
An aerosol, and sprayed it at several of my comrades that night while we were there. And they showed up, when the cops showed up, the person had it in their hand, and they still didn't do anything about that. Another person was standing right behind Baker, like using Baker as a shield, basically, and had admitted to being out there painting that mural right there in front of the police. And we were like, hey, hello. He literally admitted to doing this illegal mural, and you're just going to let him stand there? And he had this smug look on his face. They were giving Nazi salute while we were out there.
When you say Nazi salute, tell me
like
exactly.
Heil
Hitler salute?
Yeah, yeah.
Standing next to the police?
Yes. Well, and prior to the police getting there. And there was also a truck driving around with a Trump 2024 sign who was yelling out racial slurs at us while we were before anything. This was all during. This was still while it was daylight out. This truck was driving around yelling out racial slurs at everyone. It was a young young person in there.
Now, Rose, I'm going to put you on hold because we don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you. Rose had her phone knocked out of her hands by a man that she says was racist and confrontational after arriving at the Food Not Bombs food share in downtown Tampa in Likes Park on Saturday night. We're talking about a series of confrontations that have been taking place in downtown Tampa the last few days involving Food Not Bombs, BLM, police, neo-Nazis, and people that wanted to paint a rainbow mural. And as a result, so far, 11 people have been arrested, and this is 88.5 FM. Let's bring Bernice on. Bernice is with Dream Defenders. Bernice, thanks a lot for coming on. What's your role in all this?
Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm good.
So my role primarily is organizing and supporting. I'm the organizing lead with Dream Defenders Tampa, and in addition, I help to run our bailout fund. So I've spent a lot of time over the past couple of months helping to bail out protesters. We actually helped to bail out all the protesters from Saturday's arrest as well. And so, you know, going to the jail, paying the bond, making sure that folks get connected to legal support or medical support sometimes if needed as well.
So were you witness to anything that happened on Saturday, any of these confrontations? Or in fact, last night, there were also some people arrested in downtown Tampa for what the police describe as criminal mischief for attempting to paint another mural last night.
Right. Yeah.
Or I should say they were spray painting graffiti on the roadway on Madison Street at the intersection of Franklin Street. This is according to Tampa Police. So were you witness to any of these?
So no, I was not witness to it. I did do jail support for the folks who got arrested on Saturday and was there to see them get released. I would say that from my experience, and the marches that I've been to, you know, I know someone earlier mentioned the march on MLK and 22nd, where I was tear gassed and other folks were tear gassed as well by the police. And so what I've seen, throughout like a couple months of protesting is Tampa police, actually coming and violently escalating situations, that have been peaceful situations, and attacking protesters. I myself have ended up in the ER because as a result of the MLK and 22nd protest with what was suspected a fractured foot, but it ended up just being a really bad sprain.
What were you injured by? What caused the injury?
I was running away while the police were tear gassing me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Bernice, did you happen to see Matt Yampolsky when he was let out of jail after his arrest on Saturday night? Because Matt was just on a few minutes ago saying that he was beat up when he was in jail.
Yes, I did see him when he got released. I saw him and Julian, and Matt's face did look pretty bad.
So you can verify that he had an injury to his face?
Yes. From what I saw, his face looked bad. Definitely looked like it had been injured, either bruised or like scratched. It was just very like red looking.
So, Rose, what do you make of what's going on? I mean, a lot of this hasn't made the news. Some of it has. What do you make of all this?
for me, it shows willingness to not want to know what's going on for the majority of the people around. The fact that what's happening here hasn't even come to many of the actual residents' minds. Like, if it hasn't happened in front of many of the residents here, they're not even aware that these things are going on. Shows the willingness to not want to see what's happening. So all I can think is, like, we really just need to be pushing people to not be afraid to be uncomfortable, because silence is compliance. So we need to not be uncomfortable in saying this isn't right. And that starts with talking to the people in charge and being like, what you're doing is not okay. We need to defund the police. We need to take these millions. And, I mean, Caster's proposing millions of an increase when we have community programs that could be preventing children from getting into situations that put them into the prison pipeline. Like, we could be investing in better alcohol and drug programs. We could be investing in all kinds of things with just the increase that she's suggesting, much less defunding the police. Like, there's so much more that we could do if more people were willing to speak up and not be scared of making people uncomfortable with differing opinions, or even with telling people, hey, you need to open your eyes, because your privilege in keeping your eyes shut is keeping people getting abused by the police, keeping people getting thrown into jail and being charged with ridiculous felonies, so that way they can't go out and do things again. Otherwise, they will get arrested with the chance of never coming out. Like, we're in the middle of coronavirus and the jails aren't giving masks out. They aren't maintaining clean situations. I also saw Matt when he came out, and he looked, I just wanted to cry when I saw him. There was nothing, like, there was nothing that I could do. He'd already been beaten.
Well, we're talking about confrontations that have been going on the last few nights in downtown Tampa. Rose and Bernice are with us. Bernice and Rose, I've got more people I want to talk to, because several people who say they've been arrested have called in. So, Bernice, let me give you the last word on this. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about what's going on?
Yes, I would encourage folks to please contact your Tampa City Council member and let them know that you do not support an increase in TPD's budget. Mayor Jane Castor has proposed an additional $13 million in TPD's budgeting for next fiscal year, and the reality is that spending more money on police is not making us safer. We're seeing that police are actually escalating violence, and they are intentionally targeting activists as well and harassing activists in the community. And, you know, it's just so, so important that we have more folks in the community come out and step out against what TPD is doing and Jane Castor is doing. Well, so my word would be, please contact your city council member and let them know that you do not support an increase.
All right. Rose and Bernice, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go now to Jay and Grant, who have called in. Grant, thanks a lot. You were one of the people arrested on Saturday night. Tell us what happened to you.
Yeah, thanks, Rod. I want to start off by thanking Bernice and Dream Defenders for bailing me out of jail. And thank you to all your listeners who are still tuned in. I know this is pretty heavy stuff. I'm going to touch on a few points. I'll start off by just talking about the completely dehumanizing tactics all of Tampa Police Department and Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office use so they can sleep at night. You know, they have to see us as bad guys, as criminals, and dehumanize us so to justify treating us the way they treat us. I mean, from the get, they put on the handcuffs unnecessarily tight. They throw us back in the back of a hot car. We ask them to put the windows down. They ignore us. When we get to the jail, they don't refer to us by our names or even he and she. It's like, whose is this one? Who's that? You know, just completely dehumanizing the whole time. It's pretty disgusting. I also just want to bring up, so us activists are doing the work for the city council. The young woman from Tampa Bay Activist Network, she's with a group of protesters doing research on how funds can be reallocated. We're giving all these suggestions to the city government. Mayor Castor showed on Thursday she's not listening at all. She's doing the opposite. She started off her budget proposal by saying we're going to invest in the police instead of just take away a little bit to fund some more social services, you know. So I think it's very clear by her rhetoric and by how the Tampa Police Department is treating us that the battle lines have been drawn. So for all of your listeners that have always sat around wondering, like, what would they be doing during the civil rights movement? Whatever you're doing right now, that's what you would be doing, right? So my call to action would be for the protests, if you're worried about coronavirus, we need people with cars, right? You can just come on down with your car. We'd love to have your support out there. If you're not already, have the hard conversations with your friends and family. I know they're difficult. I know they're scary. I've had some pretty rough ones with my parents, but they're necessary. They're absolutely necessary.
All right.
And another good way to show visual support is to go to Anti-Racism St. Pete on Instagram and get yourself some Black Lives Matter signs and stick it in your yard.
All right, Grant, I'm going to keep you on the line, but let me ask Jay to join us right now, who was a witness to some of the arrests. Jay, thanks for coming on. What? Where were you and what did you witness?
So first off, thanks for having me. What up, Grant?
What up?
So Saturday was a long night. I went to Curtis Dixon, and local activist was painting a all Black Lives Matter mural, inclusive mural. I don't need to rehash that. Everyone knows that. PPD came out in force. They didn't talk to anyone. I went up to talk to one of the police because I saw how determined they were in actually marching towards the protesters. They put their hands on one of the men and tried to rip him up. They didn't talk to him. They didn't say, hey, you're being arrested. They literally just tried to throw him, pull him off the ground. One of the police officers pushed me off the platform that is the wooden platforms that they have at Curtis Dixon, which re-injured injuries that I'm still trying to recover from earlier in the year.
You were hit by a car.
Yeah, I was hit by a truck by a white supremacist vigilante who Tampa Police Department is still protecting and won't even give my lawyer his identity for us to file a civil suit. After that, they begin to drag the one organizer away. Knowing that he's a trans man and a marginalized man, I wanted to follow and record to ensure that he was treated with dignity. And I can send you this video on Facebook Messenger, Rob. One of the officers from TPD, with both hands full-fledged, pushed me out of the way with no provocation, nothing. There were like eight police officers around. He just violently shoved me. And then it goes on for the night. Later on, as they take the one gentleman and put him in the car, people were asking what's happening. We were kind of off the sidewalk. Matt was next to me, right next to me. And as soon as he got back on the sidewalk, the police picked him up off the ground and slammed him into the car. And they kept twisting his arm. It was like three or four police officers that was on him. And then one of his friends kept yelling, he has a medical condition. Don't treat him like that. He has a wife. He has a kid. Don't treat him like that. So then we all started yelling, he has a medical condition. You don't have to treat him like that. And then they arrested him and they shoved him in. They arrested one person who literally had just walked to the park, who hadn't been around any paint, didn't even know anyone. Like, we ended up bailing that person out, but we didn't even know who that person was. It was just an extreme show of force. At one point in time, one of the police officers tells me, when I'm asking him why is he arresting people, he's like, I need you to get away from me because I don't know if I have COVID. And to me, that means, why aren't TPD wearing masks? That's just weird for him to say. I was hit by a police bike, and when I pushed the bike, TPE like warned me not be like, you know, it's like don't touch city property or something. I'm like, he just ran over my foot on purpose. So after that, a few hours later, we're at the mural, the Back the Blue mural, and you know, some white supremacists, and I call them white supremacists because anyone who is so against the life, liberty, and happiness and liberation of Black people are white supremacists. You don't have to do hand signs. You don't have to say the N-word. But if you are actively against fighting for equity for black folk, then you are upholding white supremacy.
Jay and Grant, I wish we had more time. We're out of time. But okay. Thank you so much. Tonight, a mysterious flyer has appeared asking people to protest in downtown Tampa. Who do you trust? Just in 10 seconds. Who do you trust?
Dream Defenders.
Okay. All right. Jay, thanks. Grant, thank you very much. I wish we had more time.
All right, bye.
Thank you. We've been talking about a series of confrontations that have been taking place the last few nights in downtown Tampa, and I wish we had more time. We'll probably continue the conversation tomorrow, and Nola's coming up next. He might even take a part of this conversation. If you want to comment about today's show, call us at 813-238-8001. Record a comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11. This is WMNF